And good afternoon. I'm Tracy Morgan with this extended news at noon, and we are going to continue our interviews for the foreseeable future. And so today we have with us Dr. Norman Beals. A lot of his coworkers know him as Kip, but he is the vice president of ambulatory network there at the Butler Health System. Also, he's the chief innovation officer with the Butler Health System. And we're going to be talking about virtual doctor visits. There's a lot to talk about. So, Dr. Beals, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate you being with me today.
Well, thank you for having me, Tracy. I appreciate the opportunity.
So, through your eyes, how different is this? It seems like all of our routines and our daily schedules have been uprooted. And through a doctor's viewpoint, how different is it to take on virtual doctor visits all the time?
Yeah, that's a good question. Tracy, I think that one of the things that we benefited from at Butler Health System is that not only through Ken DeFurio, who's our CEO and our board, there was a mandate and a concerted effort to make innovation a priority at the organization. So we've been working with virtual and remote engagement with our patients for the last few years. It's been at a lower level, but because of that opportunity of making innovation a priority, we were able to ramp up and have every one of our providers have opportunities for remote and virtual visits, no matter where they're at with their patients, in a matter of days. And so we were probably better postured and positioned because of that that backdrop that we have at Butler Health System. And so for us, many of us had dabbled or had ongoing experiences with it. So when we flipped the switch and had all of our providers have it, it was a short learning curve, and fortunately we were able to get up and running. In fact, probably our first week, we had almost 2,000 virtual visits.
So I want
to Butler Health System.
I want to ask you what it's like for the patients to be on board with this, because I'll tell you honestly, I know that you still see patients as a family doctor in Seneca.
That's right.
But I took my kids to their pediatricians, I'll just say like 3 months ago, and it was relatively recent, and it was a whole thumbprint to get checked in, and I just went, no, you know, because that was really odd to me. So what has it been like for your patients who have not yet warmed up to some technology to all of a sudden have to do a virtual doctor visit with you?
You know, what we've done is we recognize that. Sometimes it's the comfort level, sometimes it's the tools that they have in their home. You know, we think that everybody has a smartphone or a laptop with a camera and a mic anymore, but not everybody does. And so we recognize that sometimes telemedicine is a telephone. And so we recognize the benefit of that. And FaceTime is another tool. We're using Zoom. We're using some embedded products that are part of our health records that we already have electronically. So we're using a host of tools to try to keep connected with our patients. For them, we try to make sure that we do what they're comfortable with. For the provider, there's also variability in their comfort. Many of the providers who are using these tools weren't using them before, but they've all been in their literature and at their seminars and at the things that they read. They've been hearing about remote engagement for some time. This, I think, pandemic has forced us to accelerate the adoption of it, and patients have been actually very positive. In general, the stories that I'm hearing from our providers is that oftentimes there's a lot of appreciation for the ability to connect this way when sometimes they feel a little isolated. We're at the hospital, in fact, because there's some strict guidelines around having no visitations. And so having nothing to do with the work that we've done in telehealth, there's people within our organization that have iPads distributed throughout both Clarion and Butler Memorial Hospitals, where they can actually have our staff who are trained on that to make sure that they can connect with their families remotely. And although it's nothing but better, there's nothing better than being face-to-face, this has been something that's really been appreciated. So I think that this sort of new normal has been brewing. I think people are used to using products to engage healthcare for some time. And I think this has accelerated it to areas that we didn't think maybe it would be applicable to. But we've learned that even with simple visits for stable blood pressure problems, that it allows us the opportunity to connect with them, understand what's going on in their homes. you know, sometimes people have lost jobs or people are afraid for their kids who are out of state. And there's a lot of connectivity that's been enhanced because of these tools. So I think it's been, in general, a positive thing, and we've been very sensitive around what people's comfort levels are.
It sounds like you're giving us a lot of benefits, and if there are any other personal benefits that you would like to relay, I would love that, in the way of a patient being able to either stay at home or, you know, reduce fears or anything like that. But my follow-up question to that is, what do you lose by doing a virtual doctor's visit? So there's benefit and there's losses. And what I mean by that is not that you're not a professional, you're a fabulous professional, but yet are there some losses when there is not a patient sitting right directly across from you?
Yeah, I think for now with technology in general, I think that is true. You know, when we're there, you know, we're able to see subtleties and hear subtleties and put our hands on people and be able to connect with them in ways that helps us with our traditional engagement with patients. You know, there's still an old adage that, you know, the patient's story, their history, what they tell us is usually where most of the information is. But there is nothing better than being face-to-face and connecting with people and making that bridge and that relationship, because it's the relationship sometimes that allows us to break through and see the subtleties of their problems, how it affects their lives. And I think that's going to remain important. I don't think that we'll ever find that this completely mitigates any need for face-to-face. I think that it can become somewhat the new normal in the sense of keeping people for routine cares, that maybe they're going to be able to stay more at home and safer, especially during these particular times. I think it'll be a convenience, but I think that there's always going to be a need for coming face-to-face with people to develop relationships, which is still a very important part of the work we're doing.
Dr. Norman Beals with us, MD. He sees patients in Seneca, but he's also the vice president of the ambulatory network at the Butler Health System and the chief innovation officer for the Butler Health System. And Dr. Beals, I want to ask you about the process on how we go about the virtual doctor visit. So if we could just kind of go generically A to Z, if you will. So if I have an issue, do I call the doctor's office? Is there an appointment made? Do we automatically connect? How is that process done?
So what we're doing now is that if people have a need to engage their providers, they simply call the office like they always have. And then through that process of triage within the office staff, they communicate with the providers and the staff on site to decide if this is an appropriate time for this person to be seen through a virtual process. That, because there's going to be some times where, for example, if somebody needs stitches taken out, there's nothing we can do except have them come in, and we make those safeguards and create times when they can come in for that, and we plan for it. We even have times where people are using their cars as the waiting room instead of the waiting room. So there's a lot of precautions and safety measures that we take. And then if it's going to be a virtual visit, then the staff there gives simple instructions to the patient after finding out what equipment they have. If they have a smartphone or if they have an email address, we can simply send them a message, work through a few questions, and be able to tee them up through a very simple process to get them seen at a time and date that's agreeable to them. And then when it's time, they are joined by their clinician, their provider, and they have a video and audio conference together.
So what happens when technology is not our friend in the moment that an appointment is supposed to happen? I know a lot of kids are at school and people are at home. I shouldn't say kids are at school. Kids are at home. People
right.
are at home and everybody's sure. online, and that's taxing that system. And so then all of a sudden the doctor's visit appointment, virtual appointment comes up, and then technology crashes on us at home. So how does that work with a doctor's visit?
Well, certainly the people on the provider side here at Butler Health System are aware of those kinds of possibilities, and they oftentimes will have discussions with the patient about fallback plans. Oftentimes, even though the video part of it can have difficulties in those kinds of times that you're mentioning, the audio will remain, and then there's the telephonic sort of fallback. And if all of those fail, then it's something that we plan to circle back around and try them at a later time to reschedule. We're not seeing a lot of that happening, despite this heavy use that's going on now with Zoom and other technologies, since many people are social isolating and keeping their social distances. But at the same time, we do make plans to mitigate that and to have fallback plans.
Dr. Beals, I know you mentioned Zoom. I know you mentioned a couple of minutes ago, but could you remind me, do we need an app on our end, or do we choose the technology we would like to use, like Skype or Zoom, or what the process would be?
Yeah, most of the practices are using only two or three different modalities, and we have those as safety backups in case one doesn't work. They have other options, and what they do is they work with the patient to determine which one. Nobody needs to download an app at this time. Certainly over time, as this becomes a more mature a way of engaging patients, those kinds of quick approaches will be put in place, but at this point it's just simple, oftentimes texting the patient a link and they just click on it, or emailing and making some preliminary adjustments to join when it's time.
Dr. Beals, have you had to think through the safety issue, the health safety issue, because we've heard HIPAA so many times now in the past many years that now all of a sudden we're supposed to go online, and then we hear stories about how sometimes that's not safe. And so now we're kind of, I don't want to say colliding between technology and being public and yet having HIPAA laws in place. Have you had to think through that, and what's your thought?
Yeah, we've thought through that a lot. You know, privacy and the HIPAA, you know, about keeping people's information private is really important. The government sent out what they're calling their 1135 waivers. And what they did, because of this pandemic and this national emergency, they've freed up the ability to use these tools. And what we've done is, for example, with Zoom, is we're adding some layered steps to actually even add into mitigating those kind of concerns that you're hearing on the media. You know, we certainly recognize the safety of privacy and the safety of who can be seen in this fashion and who needs to be seen face-to-face, and we balance those carefully even before we were in the pandemic when we would receive messages from people. So we're used to doing this kind of triaging, and we're used to keeping people's information very safe.
So I want to ask you, from your perspective as a doctor, when you have a virtual doctor's visit and you have the patient on the other end of that technology, how do you know that they are feeling sick, ill, maybe just a regular cold, or they've sprained their ankle, it really is swelling? How do you know that when this is virtual?
There's sometimes that we have to make our best clinical decision and balance that with keeping people safe. You know, clearly we have to be biased towards the cautionary side of getting people evaluated appropriately. What we're doing also is that we're doing more close follow-up remotely than we would normally. So if I talked with you today and you say, I slipped going down the stairs and my ankle is swollen, I'll ask you a lot of questions about weight bearing and what it looks like. We'll look at it through the camera. We'll talk about it. And then we'll see what your functionality is and then make the best clinical decision we can to keep you safe and balance the need for perhaps further care. And then if after maybe 24 hours and you're elevating it and icing it or whatever the instructions might be, then the callback is going to be the important, a quick callback to make sure that what our plans were. And then we also go out of our way to say, and if, by the way, the instructions I'm giving you in the middle of the night seem that you had this or this happen, you're going to have to call us back, and we're going to have to talk tonight in the middle of the night instead of tomorrow when we're going to check back with you.
So in the middle of the night, does that mean calling you back for a virtual doctor's visit, or do we need to go to the emergency room?
Well, oftentimes the best thing to do is not go to the emergency room. The best thing to do is to always call us and allow us to talk with you, and it doesn't have to be a virtual visit to it for those quick callbacks.
Okay.
Oftentimes it's pretty clear if we need to make those kind of careful decisions about engaging the emergency rooms. They're doing a good job in trying to field the potentially COVID sick patients, and we're trying to keep people out of those environments, of course.
Gotcha. Let me also ask you about the opioid situation. And the reason I ask this, not only am I curious about what your thoughts are on this, but I also had someone the other day make a comment, an offhanded comment, and we were talking about virtual doctor visits, and they said, oh, I wonder if the opioid problem will be worse. And of course, I'm sure you've heard the many stories where there may be over-prescribing medication, maybe not. But during this time when we're doing virtual doctor visits, how do you keep that in check when people are trying to get drugs that they should not have?
Right. Yeah, we're, you know, we've been very concerned about the opioid epidemic and have been really aggressively involved with that, I think, to prepare us for this point. The idea that somebody would be able to call and get opioids easier is highly unlikely. There would it creates, in fact, fortunately, another hurdle perhaps towards any kind of cavalier prescribing if that happens anywhere. We're certainly socialized around our organization with our physicians and providers that telephone prescribing of those substances would be exceedingly rare. We would have to have some very good backup evidence about what circumstances would allow that to be a reasonable decision. So I certainly can't speak for all the organizations, but I know at Butler we certainly are very careful about that. And those, in fact, are probably rarely, if ever, prescribed through a virtual visit. It would have to be something because of hospice or some form of palliative care experience and or other strong backup about what's happened because of a recent hospitalization or an operation that we would make those sort of that would make that circumstance reasonable to prescribe.
And there's another follow-up question I just thought of as you were talking about folks trying to get drugs for other individuals that they're not prescribed for. All I can think of is if you have a patient on this virtual doctor visit and they say, yes, doctor, I am hurting, but yet you don't see any physical signs of this. Can you turn people down? How do you know that someone is not trying to access drugs for someone else?
Yeah, so we're used to those kinds of circumstances over the telephone and throughout our careers and in person. And we're quite skilled in understanding when somebody needs medicines for pain or not. And certainly if there's any questions about that, you know, we would want to see them face to face. You know, could we somehow be fooled over a video conferencing more than we would in person? I don't think so. I think that environment, in fact, would put us even at a greater heightened or as much as if they were in face-to-face. So I'm confident that we're not going to have a concern around excessive prescription writing. I've not heard that or read anything about that. I think it's a great question coming from you, and I'll certainly keep our eyes on that concern.
One more question for you, and I'll let you go because I know you are busy. Dr. Norman Beals with us with the Butler Health System. Are you taking any new patients? Are doctors taking any new patients because they would start out as a virtual doctor visit?
Yeah, in fact, we are. What we're finding is through this pandemic, people who are concerned or about their health or got sick or had a cold are finding themselves wanting to connect with healthcare perhaps even more than they were routinely considering. So what we have through our care center that we're through the Butler Health System, where we allow, there's a phone number out there that allows people to be able to contact us directly and to be able to ask for a physician, and we talk to them about their locations and where they live, and we actually work with them to help assign them physicians. So yeah, we're all taking new patients. There's probably only a couple practices that are so busy that they've closed down, but we definitely have availability, and we'd encourage anybody who's, you know, seeking healthcare or has questions that to feel comfortable that we understand that and we welcome them to come and give us a call.
Any final thoughts you'd like to share with us, Dr. Beals, about virtual doctor visits and how we go about this for the time being?
You know, I think that as we're moving forward, I think that technology is going to make this our new normal, regardless of the pandemic. I think that many of the technology people who are selling us iPads and other equipment that we routinely use every day are going to become come routinely with biometric tools such as pulse oximetries and cameras and stethoscopes that we can listen. So I think it's becoming, in fact, a convenient new normal anyway. I think this has accelerated it. You know, I would encourage people to be comfortable with it right now. Give it a try when they're in need of engaging their provider. We certainly at Butler Health System understand that this is sometimes new, but it's an opportunity for people to connect. And what we're finding out is that it's been very helpful, and a lot of people have found it to be really comforting that they can still stay connected with their healthcare providers and not have to worry about safety issues and not feel isolated.
Dr. Norman Beals, his co-workers call him Kip, but you would know him from the Seneca area also. He is a doctor with the Butler Health System, the VP, Vice President of the Ambulatory Network, and the Chief Innovation Officer. Dr. Beals, thank you so much for your time today.
I really appreciate you giving me the time to share this story.